This is Vermont Edition. I'm Bob Kinzel. There's a very active debate going on in Washington and across the country if House Democrats should begin impeachment proceedings against President Trump. About 25% of the House Democratic caucus is backing the idea, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is strongly resisting it. Senator Patrick Leahy is the senior member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he has a unique perspective on this issue. He was first elected during the Watergate era, and he served in the Senate during the impeachment trial of President Bill Clinton in the late 1990s. What does Senator Leahy think about the growing impeachment debate? We'll find out because he joins us now from the Senate Recording Studio in Washington, D.C. Senator, welcome back to Vermont Edition.
Bob, always good to be with you.
Senator, as you know, there's a very robust debate taking place in Democratic circles over the issue of impeachment. There's the belief that Congress has an obligation to start impeachment proceedings immediately based on the evidence of the Mueller report. But on the other hand, some people think there's no way that the Republican-controlled Senate will ever vote to convict the president, so it's a waste of time. And the president himself welcomes the impeachment question because he believes it will help solidify his base and work to his political advantage. So what do you think? Is the time come for the House to start impeachment proceedings?
Well, you know, it's not only among Democrats where the question's raised. I hear it all the time when I'm home in Vermont, whether it's a grocery store or just walking down the street, people tell me. And whatever they may call it, and they probably would call it an impeachment inquiry, is what was done during the Richard Nixon era. I don't think anybody expected that would lead to impeachment, but they do impeachment inquiry to see whether laws were broken. I think that there have been so many red flags have gone up. There's going to be at least that kind of an inquiry to find out whether the president followed the law or not. And I think there's some things they have to do. They've got to bring Bob Mueller in to testify. He found dozens of contacts between the Trump campaign and Russia, and the campaign was apparently very eager to benefit from them. He found substantial evidence of repeated obstruction. Everybody knows the president is profiting and violating the emolument clause. In fact, I'm one of the people that have joined in a suit to declare that he is violating the emolument clause. It seems to get worse and worse. Nobody should be above the law. I don't care if it's a member of Congress or the president.
So I want to understand if there's a difference between starting a impeachment inquiry and starting impeachment hearings. Is there a difference between those two?
There is. It's sort of like in a trial, and I'm thinking back when I was a prosecutor, you might do an inquest or deposition to determine what kind of charges you're going to bring before you bring the charges. So you have to do that. You know, in this case, it'd be an inquiry on corruption. We know that the president has refused, no matter what he says, he refused to testify under oath during the Mueller probe. He had that right not to, but it raises some questions. What was he afraid of? Why was he unwilling to testify under oath?
So you feel that it would be appropriate for the House Judiciary Committee to begin to look into these obstruction of justice charges and see if they warrant further action?
I think that they will do that. I think that they're going to will be making some kind of inquiries, basically corruption inquiries. They're going to be doing that under also whether he violated the emolument clause. The emolument clause say is you can't profit from being president, and he brags about what he brings into his golf courses and the Trump hotel in Washington and so on. Well, that's why when we brought the suit, of course, the Trumps immediately moved to dismiss it. The courts would not dismiss it. They're still looking at it. I think these things are going to have to be done. I want a president to have his loyalties first and foremost to the United States of America. He has said that he'll protect Kim Jong-un, who's a murderous despot and an enemy of the United States. He finds that Putin in Russia has never done anything wrong, even though he is today spying on the United States, and he is today trying to interfere with our elections, which is why a number of us, Republicans and Democrats, have been calling on the Republican leader to bring up our bill to protect our elections.
Senator, I also wanted to talk to you about the administration's plan to restrict travel and commerce with Cuba. You've been to Cuba a number of times. You've encouraged the development of exchange programs and other ways to open up relations with the Cuban government. What kind of impact will these new administration policies have?
Well, virtually every time I've gone to Cuba, I've invited both Republicans and Democrats to come with me because we try to make clear that we believe you should be able, Americans should be able to travel anywhere, anywhere they want. Basically, what the administration is saying is, oh, yeah, you can go to Iran, you can go to North Korea if they'll let you in, but you can't go to Cuba, which is 90 miles off our shore. That makes no sense. Can you imagine what it would be like in Vermont if they suddenly announce, Vermonters, you're not allowed to go to Canada? For one thing, I could hear what my wife would say, and it'd be in both French and English, but that's what it is. You can't tell Americans. You can't go to a country. If the country is willing to let you in, you should be able to go. And we've had 60 years of a failed policy. When we started opening up during the last administration, a lot of private companies opened up. A lot of people who hadn't been able to have jobs before were able to create their own jobs. Students were going back and forth. Things were improving. There was far more information going to the Cuban people, what's happening in the United States, around the rest of the world, and all of a sudden they want to shut that off? That makes no sense at all.
Well, what about the administration's argument that the government of Cuba is essentially a military dictatorship and that restrictions are needed to get them to support a more democratic form of government?
Well, I think that argument has been made for 60 years and went nowhere. The fact is, a more open government, well, it's never going to be a democracy like we have, but nor are many of the countries that we do business with every single day. But they are showing more and more freedoms the more and more we've opened up to them. The more and more we've had Americans go there, American students, writers, teachers, and everybody else, and the more Cubans have been able to come to the U.S., it just opens up. I've seen a huge difference over the years. But basically what the Trump administration is doing is, as Cuba is developing a small free enterprise system, they're killing it. The only people who benefit from that will be the military that you're talking about and others. What the Trump administration is doing is killing the ability of those who want to have free expression. And they're telling Americans, you can't go, or we tell you you can't go. That is not America.
And does Congress have a role to play in trying to overturn these policies?
They do. I will introduce legislation with both Republicans and Democrats supporting it, call for a vote on it, saying this is not the way to go. None of us are saying, oh, we want to have a government like Cuba. Of course we don't. But what we are saying is that the Cuban people ought to have a chance of free expression. The Cuban people ought to have a chance to travel. But Americans from Vermont or Texas or Florida or anywhere else, they ought to have the freedom to travel.
Senator Patrick Leahy, many thanks for taking the time to talk to us today about these important issues.
Good to be with you, Bob.